Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, September 10th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. MDC Renewal Stand IBT says all is going well at the first Congress of the People's Democratic Party being held in Harare.
What we are offering is that we are saying to Zimbabweans, let's create a new brand of politics, a new paradigm, a new narrative, one that for the first time seeks to manifest itself through a team, through a depersonalized process.
Zimbabwe's finance minister says he has given up on convincing the International Monetary Fund and other creditors to cancel the country's $10 billion debt.
The fundamentals are not in good shape. The end game is to reach an accommodation with creditors in order to clear our arrears.
And a group of scientists announced today what they say is the discovery of an extinct early ancestor of humans. These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. The MDC Renewal Stand IBT says all is going well at the party's Congress of People's Democratic Party being held in Harare. BT says they are currently crafting a comprehensive agenda for Zimbabwe, which is crippled by lack of foreign direct investment, massive job losses, and other issues. He tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu, the People's Democratic Party is the only viable option for rescuing Zimbabwe's economy from imminent collapse.
Well, it's a very historic day and a very revolutionary day. As you know, these congresses, conventions are a nightmare to organize because of logistics, and we don't have the state machinery, unlike other parties which are at our disposal. So we are very pleased and excited that the people of Zimbabwe have respected us, and by turning up in their numbers, all the bays in the City Sports Center are full of delegates. So we have outdone ourselves. But I think what is more critical is what new thing are we offering as PDP? And I think what we are offering is that we are saying to Zimbabweans, let's create a new brand of politics, a new paradigm, a new narrative, one that for the first time seeks to manifest itself through a team, through a depersonalized process that is not characterized by hubris and big egos and huge personalities who are past their sell-by date. Number two, let's create a genre of politics where people can actually work together. And so one of the things we have made very clear is that we work together with like-minded political parties. The challenge in the past 15 years is that we have tried to fight the dominant state party, ZANU-PF, in the little corners, in the fragmented expressions.
I am taking it to say that you are saying you are willing to form coalitions, but not with certain individuals. Should I say specifically, Mr. Tsvangirai?
Not at all. Look, the problem of personalities is killing us. The very fact that you yourself have been seduced to name an individual is actually what is killing us. Let's construct ideas and matrices that are beyond individuals. And so we will refuse to create a matrix in respect of which individuals are the dominant discourse. Ideas must be the dominant discourse. So challenge us on what we are saying in arrest, challenge us on what we are saying in hope.
That was Stand IBT of the People's Democratic Party, formerly known as the MDC Renewal Team, speaking with Blessing Zulu from Harare. Still in Harare, our correspondent Patricia Mudadigwa filed this report from the Sports Center where the People's Democratic Party, formerly known as the MDC Renewal, is holding its Congress.
Jacob Mafume, who has been the spokesperson of the party, said the People's Democratic Party believed that another Zimbabwe was possible. Mafume noted that the Congress introduced two new policies for the country, hope and arrest.
We are developing a new platform to deal with the current regime. So we will have a new constitution at the end of the day, a new leadership at the end of the day tomorrow, and two new policies, one called hope and another one called Arrest. Hope is economy, Arrest is our political roadmap.
Dominic Nyikadzino, Provincial Secretary General for Chitungwiza Province, said he was elated that the Congress was convened despite police pressure to call it off due to lack of manpower to monitor the event. Nyikadzino said he hopes that the policies launched by the party will address the deteriorating economic situation in the country and usher in a democratic Zimbabwe.
We aim to establish a democratic party that will deliver the people of Zimbabwe from the bondage of Robert Mugabe and the mismanagement of the country that has been going on for long, for the last 35 years indeed. Through the implementation of our documents, Hope and Arrest, as presented amongst the delegates.
Tinei Mukanana, a delegate from Danga Vurama Nikaland province, said the political party is expected to offer a platform to correct all the blunders that have been made over the years by some of the top political parties in the country.
We are part of corrections. We are going to correct what was not working well. The former part we were at MDC and what is taking place to ZANPF, that we put all things together and become a new Zimbabwe. And that Zimbabwe we were crying for, to bring it back.
According to the party's register, 5,000 delegates attending the Congress that will tonight elect its youth president and tomorrow usher in the party's new leadership. Some of the delegates say Tendai Biti is set to lead the party as there's no other person who is contesting the presidential post, while Samuel Sipepangomo is tipped to lend the post of the vice president. The two Mazore brothers, Paul and Solomon, are expected to battle it out for the post of organizing secretary. Vendors selling various goods outside the venue of the Congress appeared to be happy with the money they are generating at the sports center. Elina Chikanya told Studio 7 she has been making brisk business since the start of the Congress.
Well, MDC Congress has just boosted our business. We have made money more than other days.
Zimbabwe now has several blueprints, including Zim Asset, produced by the ruling party's ZANPF, Juice by the MDCT, Build by former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, and ZimStart that will be produced by an NGO, Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition. It remains to be seen whether some of these blueprints will address Zimbabwe's declining economy. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
Zimbabwe's finance minister says he has given up on convincing the International Monetary Fund and other creditors to cancel the country's $10 billion debt. Now, he says, the country may use its natural resources in an effort to pay back the money. Sandra Nyaira gives us a report filed by VOA's Sebastian Mofu from Harare.
Patrick Chinamasa, Zimbabwe's finance minister, held a news conference yesterday as IMF staffers finished talks with Zimbabwean officials in Harare. He said the government held frank and candid talks with the IMF regarding the country's economy.
And if we are meeting as economists, we will agree the fundamentals are not in good shape. The end game is to reach an accommodation with creditors in order to clear our arrears. I believe that we have resources which, if leveraged, can also help to get us out of our situation.
The arrears in question are debts totaling $10 billion that Zimbabwe owes to organizations like the IMF, World Bank, and African Development Bank, all of which have stopped lending to the country. The resources are Zimbabwe's rich deposits of gold, diamonds, and other minerals, which, if properly exploited, could pump billions of dollars into the economy and help Zimbabwe pay back its creditors. President Robert Mugabe's government blames the current situation on Western sanctions imposed on him and ruling party officials following reports of human rights abuses and election rigging in 2002. Domenico Fanica, an assistant director with IMF's African department, says debt repayment is key to reviving the country's economy.
And the problem for Zimbabwe is that the country cannot access financing, either from international financial institutions or bilateral trade. Why? because it does not serve its debt.
Last year, Chinamasa appealed in vain to the African Development Bank to write off $500 million of Zimbabwe's debt, hoping the IMF and World Bank would do the same. Now, it seems he's planning to ride the country's resources back to financial health. On Wednesday, he said Zimbabwe is sending a team to Brussels, Berlin and Paris to present a plan to pay the debts if the creditors will give Zimbabwe time to breathe. This report was sent by Sebastian Mofu for VOA News in Harare.
Thank you, Sandra and Sebastian. Economists, business and industry leaders say Zimbabwe remains unattractive for investment, adding that government must implement comprehensive economic reforms as it re-engages international financial institutions seeking money to inject the faltering economy. Ivan Chifera reports.
Speaking at a workshop on the future economic prospects for Zimbabwe and the re-engagement process, they commended the government for attempting to transform the economy under the International Monetary Fund's Staff Monitored Program, but noted that political will was needed for implementing key reforms. Professor Mthuli Ncube of Oxford University said much deeper reforms were needed to lift the economy out of its current state.
But I think it's true to say that all these reforms have been beaten, siloed, without a formal, deeper, comprehensive program. There needs to be a deeper reform program beyond the staff monitor program. This is necessary for a full engagement with the international community and for Zimbabwe to take its full place, rightful place in the Africa Rising story.
Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries President Vusisa Moyo said the cost of doing business in Zimbabwe remained high and there was need for policy consistency if the country is to attract significant foreign direct investment. Moyo said the country's foreign debt was also preventing industry and business from accessing cheap money from external sources.
The third C is consistency, and consistency across policies. There are a lot of inconsistencies that we find. We say one thing, but the strategies that we are adopting, the structure of what we are doing doesn't align to what we have said is policy. So this creates a lot of confusion and a lot of inefficiency.
While commending government's re-engagement efforts, Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe Director Godfrey Kanyenze said government needed more reforms that are pro-poor, which would uplift the living standards of the poor and the marginalized in the country.
We don't just want recovery in Zimbabwe. We don't just want growth. We need inclusive growth. We need pro-poor growth. We need growth that is job-rich, that raises the people at the lowest levels. We need to think, first of all, about the poor people. I think that is very, very critical.
Reserve Bank Governor John Manguja, who is chairing the country's re-engagement committee, said they are already implementing reforms and Zimbabwe's economic prospects look bright. He, however, said it was time everyone adopted a positive attitude towards the development of Zimbabwe.
We have a choice as a Zimbabweans. The choice to re-engage, over the choice to make things right, over the choice, not a chance, but a choice to do the right things at this moment. And I think that the best time, as I said, to do so is now. We need to have the power of positive thinking. We need to have the power to ensure that it's only us who can do it. It's us who can make the difference in this country.
The experts stressed the need for the country to settle its debt so that it can get funding from international financial institutions to revamp the ailing economy. Zimbabwe is settled with an $8 billion external debt, and Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa said the country has no option but to re-engage international finance institutions in order to get the much-needed loans. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
In a statement by his spokesman Luke Tambore Nyoka, Tsvangirai said the entrance of Mrs. Mujuru into the opposition fray was a confirmation that there was still hope for the future. Some have read Tsvangirai's statement as closing up to Mrs. Mujuru for a coalition ahead of the 2018 elections. For perspective, Ntungameli Nkomo reached out to political analyst Nkululeko Sibanda. Sorry for that mix-up. MDC founding president Morgan Tsvangirai today launched a document outlining his party's demands before any elections are held in Zimbabwe. He urged the Southern African Development Community to convene to discuss electoral problems in the country. Our correspondent Thomas Jiripasi has more details from Harare.
Launching the document dubbed "Without Reforms, No Elections" or RENE, the former Prime Minister urged SADC leaders to meet and try to find ways of ensuring that the next elections reflect the will of the people of Zimbabwe. He alleged that previous elections were manipulated by President Robert Mugabe and his ZANU-PF party, although President Robert Mugabe remains adamant that the polls were free, fair and credible.
SADC must realize that Zimbabwe is no exception. If conditions of elections of free and fair and credible elections can be conducted in Namibia, in Zambia, in Botswana, in South Africa without any dispute, what is wrong with Zimbabwe? There is only thing that is one wrong with Zimbabwe, is that Mugabe does not want to transfer power to the people. But what he is doing is that as long as you don't support me, you are enemies of ZANU-PF.
Tsvangirai said this week's launch of an economic blueprint by former Vice President Joyce Mujuru was a clear message that the country needs reforms before any fresh elections were held, although he fell short of saying that he would work with Mrs. Mujuru in a coalition ahead of the 2018 elections.
But we are saying there is a difference between boycotting an election and putting conditions for a free and fair election. An election is a contest. But if that contest is one-sided, why should you even enter in that contest? It's like fighting with one of your arms folded behind your back. That is the basis of our claim.
Speaking at the same occasion, MDCT General Secretary Douglas Monzora said there were several issues that need to be addressed before the MDCT can participate in any future polls. Monzora said a mechanism must also be drawn to ensure that securocrats do not have a role to play in national elections. The opposition party is also demanding that the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission takes full charge of voter registration while a framework is set for Mr. Mugabe to smoothly transfer power in the event that he loses the next elections. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Meanwhile, in a statement by his spokesman Luke Tambo Rinyoka, Tsvangirai said the entrance of Mrs. Mujuru into the opposition fray was a confirmation that there was still hope for the future. Let's hear more from Ntungamile Nkomo speaking to political analyst Nkululeko Sibanda.
It's interesting that they've made a very friendly statement toward her, but some of the facts that they have stated, for example, the reasons for why she left the ruling party and is now in the opposition ranks, is stated untruly, but in a way that would certainly be fascinating or apologetic enough for her. Means that, yes, they are attempting to lure her into the party, but the other thing they could be doing is attempting to show that Morgan Tsvangirai is willing to work with anybody who will help in the agenda of removing Mugabe from power.
As you know, Dr. Sibanda, politics is a game of numbers. Does she have those numbers?
It is impossible to say that Mrs. Mujuru has the numbers because, of course, the people that have been backing her or attending her functions have always been ZANU-PF supporters, and it has not been possible in the last 30 years to ascertain her popularity independent of ZANU-PF. And again, the fact that when she was expelled from ZANU-PF, there wasn't any demonstrations or anyone willing to, or any group of people who could be supporters other than former ministers and those who were expelled with her, who were willing to sort of stand out and challenge her expulsion from the party, certainly means that on the ground there seems to be nobody there or nobody willing to be heard or seen as supporting her.
And that was political analyst Nkululeko Sibanda of Huddersfield University on the line with reporter Ntungamile Nkomo. Coming up, a closer look at political parties in Zimbabwe as former Vice President Joyce Mujuru prepares to become a strong ZANU-PF opponent. But first, a look at regional and international news. Thousands of refugees streamed through Europe today, facing torrential rains on the Macedonian border with Greece, even as further to the north, Austria halted train service with Hungary because of massive overcrowding. The Kremlin said today that Russian military advisors are in Syria to help that country's armed forces maintain equipment sent from Russia but are not involved in combat. And China's foreign minister said today the government is looking into the reported kidnapping of a Chinese national by Islamic State militants. As reported earlier, the surgence of various political parties, including perceived re-entrance into politics by former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, has sent the political arena abuzz. With opposition parties vying to unseat President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF party in the 2018 elections, the big question is, which party can unseat ZANU-PF? For perspective, reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke to ZANU-PF member and analyst Gadzirai Chirumanzu and political analyst and law professor at Kent University in UK, Dr. Alex Magaisa. Magaisa says the political landscape in Zimbabwe remains stimulating as all political parties prepare for the 2018 elections.
The entrance of Mrs. Mujuru is not a surprise, but obviously it will help in, you know, shaping the political debate as we go forward.
Mr. Chirumanzu.
Well, to be very honest with you, there is nothing to write home about. But, you know, as a free country, it is also good to have many political players. It also gives the Zimbabweans chance to choose who wants to be in charge of the country.
Dr. Magaisa, there are some who are saying, let's take, for example, the MDC renewal, which today is going through its Congress, even Mujuru. They're kind of recycled in a sense, where they're coming from other political parties. What's your take on that?
We are getting to that point where there's got to be indications of how Zimbabwe will transition from the leadership of President Mugabe. And naturally, the different political players, different leaders come to the fore to try and, you know, just take a claim for leadership. And as has been indicated by my counterpart, it's only natural that you have all these different players trying to push for that. Now, there have been frustrations in the opposition leading to the split, the creation of new political parties. Now I hear there's the PDP. If Mujuru launches their own party, another party, and there are various others, all these will add to the political landscape.
Mr. Chirumanzu, looking at the emergence of these opposition parties or some of the newer ones, you know, they're all vying to challenge President Robert Mugabe. Does it have any stake in what ZANU-PF is looking at in terms of 2018?
I think it is good for ZANU-PF and President Mugabe, because like in any situation, if you have many people fighting for, a piece of cake, definitely the one who is in charge will simply run into victory with the easy. You will find that those people who have been supporting Morgan Tsvangirai, who are not happy with what he is doing, they might be supporting Dr. Joyce Mujuru, and then there is this Welsh Menuhin, there is also Tsvangirai himself, and all these other, you know, offshore political parties. Basically, if you look statistically, you find that ZANU-PF will still win with a bigger margin this time. This is an indication of desperate people who are power hungry, who cannot come to a situation of understanding, the policy and ideology of ZANU-PF. And if you look, most people in Zimbabwe, they are only interested in being totally free from all walks of, you know, bondage, that is political and economically.
But Mr. Chirumanzu, there are some who would argue that the splits that are going on in the opposition occurred in ZANU-PF itself. Is there need maybe to realign the strategy?
No, there is no need to strategize. The policies for ZANU-PF, you know, speaks volumes on their own. Take, for example, like the moment you say, we want to empower you as a black person, we want to indigenize the economy, it sums up You know, everything one can think of being free and independent. There is no country that is fully independent in Africa like Zimbabwe. There is no country in Africa that is fully economically empowering its citizens like President Mugabe.
Dr. Magaisa, what would be the political strategy for both ZANU-PF and the opposition looking ahead at 2018?
I think it's just simple. The opposition entities need to form a coalition in order to overcome a party that has been in power for a long time and has its tentacles in every sphere. As for ZANU-PF, you know, even after expelling Joyce Mujuru and her colleagues, we see and read stories about the problems between the different factions in the political party. And of course, if they are going to resist the surge that may come from the opposition, if it unites, they will have to restore their house in order.
That was political analyst and law professor at Kent University in United Kingdom, Alex Magaisa. You also heard from ZANU-PF member and analyst Gadzirai Chirumanzi on the line from Harare. A group of scientists announced today what they say is the discovery of an extinct early ancestor of humans. The researchers who published their findings in the journal A Leaf call the new species Homo naledi. They said the species likely walked upright, stood about 1.5 meters tall, and weighed 45 kilograms. They also described the hands and feet as human-like, but said the rib cage, shoulders, and pelvis were closer to other early ancestors than to those of modern humans. We spoke to Wits University professor Lee Berger, who was leading the research.
This is a great moment for us that are revealing information about not just our origins, but the origin of our species. We had discovered the largest assemblage of fossil human relatives ever discovered in the history of the continent of Africa.
The discovery is the result of finding of a collection of bones in a hard-to-reach section of a cave at the Cradle of Humankind World Heritage Site outside of Johannesburg, South Africa. The roughly 1,500 bones discovered so far at the site belong to at least 15 individuals, the researchers said. They believe Homo naledi aged between 2.5 million and 2.8 million years ago. The team say dating the bones is one of their next challenge. Also unclear is why the bones were in the remote part of the cave in the first place. Scientists speculated others could have placed dead bodies there in a type of behavior rarely found in early humans.
This will generate interest from beyond the scientific community. It will inspire poets and writers to revisit Africa's rich oral traditions and to imagine ways to retell the story of our own common ancestry.
That's all we had for you tonight. But before we go, here is a quick rundown of what we had in store for you tonight. MDC Renewal Stand IBT says all is going well at the First Congress of People's Democratic Party, formerly known as MDC Renewal, being held in Harare. Zimbabwe's finance minister says he has given up on convincing the International Monetary Fund and other creditors to cancel the country's $10 billion debt. And a group of scientists announced today what they say is the discovery of an extinct early ancestor of humans. That's in South Africa. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Standekile Mhlanga and Ntungameli Nkomo. This is Chris Gande in Washington. Good night, Zimbabwe.